And welcome to episode 2 of the Punks in Suits podcast. Thank you very much for joining me today. And thank you very much if you listened to last week's podcast, the first in this series where I was interviewed by the Pope of Coaching, Ginny Bailey. If you don't know Ginny, but you enjoyed listening to her last week, do look her up. Google her. She's fantastic. She's been a huge inspiration for me. And her speciality is coaching CEOs and senior leaders. And very often when there's someone in an organization in that kind of position who is looking for a coach and looking for someone who will really challenge them, I'll recommend Ginny. So do look her up. The idea of these podcasts is to get you thinking about the day and the week ahead. My job is to help you figure out how to lead in these fast-changing times. And in order to do that, you need to unpick some of the heavy-going expectations on you as a leader. Expectations that you may have of yourself and expectations that other people may have of you. And most of the time in my work with leaders over the last 16 years, I have not found these expectations to be very helpful. A former client of mine recently asked a question on LinkedIn: what is the one quality that you associate with leadership? And the list of qualities that he was provided with by his friends on LinkedIn was endless. You know, you need to have a good sense of humor. You need to be emotionally intelligent. You need to be able to give feedback. You need to be able to speak honestly. You need to show vulnerability, but you also need to show strength. Sometimes you need to be direct. You need to be a person of your word. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the thing is, if we have these expectations of our leaders, or we have these expectations of ourselves, we will inevitably fail. It is impossible. These expectations are inhuman. And if it were the case that you needed to have all of those qualities, then we would never experience any leadership at all. Now, of course, you might say that there's an awful lot of people calling themselves leaders, but not very much actual leadership taking place. And sometimes it certainly seems like that. But there are definitely people in our world and in our businesses doing a great job of leading. And they don't embody all of those qualities. In fact, they embody hardly any of them. And yet they're still leading and they're still doing a great job. So I think we have to unpick some of those expectations and really ask ourselves, what is a leader's job? If it isn't about status and position, if you don't become a leader when you step into a certain role, then what is it about? Well, simplistically, if you think about what the word actually implies, it kind of implies someone up front. You're in the lead, and therefore other people are following. And when you think about it that way, then you have to start thinking about all the qualities that someone has in order to get someone else to follow them. And that's when you get the huge list. But as I've said, I'm not sure that that is really possible. That list of qualities just keeps growing and growing. And what it also means is that if you're a leader in that mold, you just have a bunch of people not leading. They're just jogging along behind you. But what if leadership doesn't really focus on people management? What if it's not about being an expert people person or generating followership? What if it's not so much about leading the people, but leading the idea? To make the idea a reality, of course, you'll probably need people to be part of it with you. But you're not necessarily the manager of those people. You're not necessarily the boss of those people. What if the emphasis in leadership was more about having a great idea that others could get behind than being someone who has people blindly following them, no matter where they go, no matter how good or bad the idea is? And that's why my definition of leadership, and the one that I will be talking about endlessly in these podcasts, is that leaders look at what is and what could be, and then they disrupt the status quo to bring about change. So they are fundamentally rethinkers. They don't just go along with convention. They don't just maintain the status quo. They don't just keep the show on the road. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping the show on the road, by the way. And there are times when those very same individuals are focused on that. You don't always have to be leading. If leadership isn't a job title, then it also doesn't have to be a permanent state. There'll be times when you're leading on something, and times when you're not leading on something. There'll be times when you're keeping the show on the road and times when you're disrupting the status quo. And this also takes the pressure off you. When we have an expectation that leadership is a permanent state, that's a huge amount of pressure to put on an individual, to say that you are the leader now and for basically the rest of your life until you step down from that leadership position. What happens in that situation is that we again have these expectations of leaders that they'll be constantly changing things, constantly leading something. And sometimes something doesn't need to be led, or sometimes someone else will step in to do the leadership. So this idea that you can pop up into leadership and then pop back down out of leadership is something that I think is quite compelling. So if you're a rethinker, then you're an ideas person. You want to change something. You see that something could be changed, that something could be made better or easier. People are great problem solvers. We're built for that. We do it all the time. When we first picked up tools, you know, the first little chisels that we used or the first little axe heads that we found, we were looking for ways to surpass the limitations of our bodies, surpass the limitations of our environment. We're also pack animals. So the qualities that make us great rethinkers and great people are fundamental to being human. What makes leadership hard is when we're trying to get people who are fundamentally human, who are good at solving problems, who are good at overcoming the limitations of their environment, and who are good at being part of a pack. What makes it hard is when we try to get those people to behave like machines. And when we try to get them to behave like machines instead of like people, then we need special tools. If we want them to be very predictable, if we want them to be very efficient, if we want them to be operating all the time at the very top of their game, which is what you might expect from a machine, not a human, that's when you need the special tools. You need the influencing skills and the presentation skills, and you need to do appraisal training, and you need to learn interview technique. So when we treat people like machines, and we turn up as a machine, we expect ourselves to be superhuman. We expect ourselves to embody all of those qualities. We'll never be able to bring out the best in ourselves, and we'll never be able to bring out the best in the people around us. So we have to rethink that. And that brings me to the theme of today's podcast, which is all about letting the mask drop. And what do I mean by the mask? Well, it's all that gloss and polish that we think we need in the business environment. I mean this very narrow part of ourselves that we allow to turn up at work. And it's also about conforming. That's also a mask, playing along, being part of the system, never asking whether the system is really working, even if deep down we suspect it isn't only not working for ourselves, but it isn't working for others too. Now, maybe when you were listening to me talk about what the mask is and what it does, you were thinking to yourself, well, I don't do that. I don't wear a mask. I'm my real self. But I think to some extent, we're all doing it. Even if you're a rebel, there might still be a bit of a mask. There might still be things that you refuse to show. Some of your self-doubt, some of your vulnerability, some of your confidence even. Some of your anger may not come through, even though you think of yourself as someone quite rebellious, who's, you know, shoots from the hip. Keeping that gloss and polish going all the time is absolutely exhausting. So just in that sense, it's taking a huge toll on us. But it's worse than that, because the organization's not getting the best of you. If you think about the people that love you, what do they love about you? Is it the fact that you're perfect? Is it the fact that you always know what to do? Or is it actually your imperfections? Isn't that where the good stuff is? The creativity, the fun, the ideas, the solutions that you come up with? Don't they come out of your imperfections and the imperfections that you see around you? A lot of your attention is going into keeping up your reputation. There was a great Harvard article back in April 2014 which described this perfectly. It said that we're almost keeping two jobs going at once, one of which is managing our reputation. The article was called Making Business Personal, and I just want to read a little bit from it. To an extent that we ourselves are only beginning to appreciate, Most people at work, even in high-performing organisations, divert considerable energy every day to a second job that no one has hired them to do, preserving their reputation, putting their best selves forward and hiding their inadequacies from others and themselves. We, that's the authors, believe this is the single biggest cause of wasted resources in nearly every company today. What would happen if people felt no need to do this second job? What if, instead of hiding their weaknesses, they were comfortable acknowledging and learning from them? What if companies made this possible by creating a culture in which people could see their mistakes not as vulnerabilities, but as prime opportunities for personal growth? I think that's brilliant, and I definitely recommend you look it up. It's called Making Business Personal, April 2014, Harvard Business Review. What if you took the mask off? What if you let some of the rest of yourself out? What if everyone is feeling like they're operating behind a mask and they can't let a large proportion of themselves out in the business? And that's leadership, going first and giving permission to others to do the same. Creating a space where it's safe for people to bring their whole selves. You know, that's what the company is paying for. It's paying for the whole self of every person in the business, but it's not getting that. Now, there's a lot of talk about vulnerability. I know it's been a big deal on TED, but it's not just that. There are other things you can bring. Your irreverence, your sense of humour, your dryness. I mean, some people are not funny. So don't pretend to be funny. That's not the real you. If you're slightly melancholic and doer, then fine, bring that. I've heard people say that they are able to keep their personal life outside of work, that whatever is happening on a personal level doesn't affect them inside of work. And I'm afraid I simply don't believe it. If they are really making a barrier, then the amount of energy that's required to keep that barrier up is huge, and that in itself is taking an enormous toll on them. But more likely, that barrier has leaks. And what's going on outside of work, particularly if it's difficult, if it's stressful, if it's very emotional, will find its way into the workplace. And the whole time that they are in denial that that's happening, it's affecting their relationships, it's affecting their ability to make great decisions, it's affecting the capacity that they have to care for other people and to care about the business and, of course, to take care of themselves. In some organisations, at the beginning of meetings, they have a check-in. And in this check-in, everyone talks about, around the table, anything that they're bringing with them into this meeting that is getting in the way of their capacity to be completely 100% present. So one person might say, well, I was a bit late getting into work today, and so I've been feeling kind of disorientated all day, and that's affecting me in this moment, in this meeting. Someone else might say, I've got a lot that I could be doing rather than being in this meeting today, and I'm concerned that this is going to be less effective use of my time than if I wasn't here and I was getting on with my work. Someone might equally say, no, I'm completely present, I'm here, and this is exactly where I know I need to be and where I want to be. As each person checks in, there's no requirement. In fact, it's not even allowed for anyone else to comment. You're not allowed to sympathise. You're not allowed to express any emotions towards that person and what it is they've just shared. It's just a way of acknowledging for some people in this room, we're bringing some stuff in. And that in itself is enough to dissipate it. So here's your field work for this week. If you want to let the mask drop, if you want to reveal a little more of who you really are and bring that into the workplace to benefit yourself, but also to benefit the colleagues that you work with, start with something simple. It could be what you're wearing to work. You might decide to dress slightly differently just to express who you are a little bit more accurately through the clothes that you're wearing. Or it could be the language that you use. Have you ever said, I don't know? Have you ever said, I'm not sure? Have you ever admitted that you find something confusing? Have you ever admitted that you don't care very much about something? Or have you ever said that you do care about something, even if it's something that other people seem to think is unimportant? Or can you break down the walls between work and home a little bit more? Over the summer, I went on annual leave, like most people, and so I had to do an out-of-office response on my email. And I had a look at what I'd written last time, and it was something very formal. And I think that the title was out-of-office reply, annual leave, and then in the body of the text it said something like, I will be away on annual leave from blah, blah date to blah, blah date. In the case of something urgent, please contact my assistant, da, 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 da. And I was about to use that wording when I thought, there's something about annual leave that sounds a bit like I'm taking my entitlement. I am entitled to 2 weeks off. It is legally binding in my contract, and I am going to make the most of this contractual obligation that my employer has towards me to allow me to take 2 weeks of annual leave from my business. Of course, that's a little bit mad because I don't have an employer. I am the employer. I'm not really taking annual leave. I'm going on holiday. I'm spending a bit of time with my family. I'm having a break. And so I reworded the out-of-office reply. So it said, having a bit of time off. And then I think in the body of the text, it said something like, I'm taking a few days off to spend some time with my family. I'm not going to have very much Wi-Fi, but I probably will have a sneaky peek at my emails while I'm away, so you could chance it. But if you want to definitely get a response, then email my assistant, and here's her contact details, etc. It felt really liberating and quite sort of punk to put my out-of-office reply using much more down-to-earth and human language. And you know what? The world did not fall in. As far as I know, no one was disappointed to find that I wasn't on annual leave, but I was taking a few days off to be with my daughter. So if you can smudge the line a little bit between work and not work, between the person that you are outside of work and the person you are in work, then maybe you can bring a little bit more of yourself into the business for everyone's benefit, including your own. So that's my theme for this week. Let the mask slip a little and see what happens. You can tweet to let me know how it's going. I'm at Blair Palmer. That's Blair with an E. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Blair Lees Palmer. So that's L-Y-S in the middle. Or you can send me an email, blair@thatpeoplething.com. And please remember to rate this podcast. And of course, please, please, please share it. Next week, we're talking about assumptions and how to get an understanding of what yours are and how they're shaping the way you approach problem solving as a leader. So that's for next week. But for now, thanks for listening. So here's 8-year-old Ivy Palmer to remind you of the fieldwork for today.
What can you do today to reveal a bit more of the real you? Think about who you were when you were my age. What were you like? Can you bring a bit more of that to work today? What about how you dress? The language you use? The wall you create between you, inside work and outside work? Can you smudge the edges between the different characters you play in life? Letting the mask drop a little today will reveal more of the authentic leader in you.